Ladies, that was beautiful. There are lots of different ways that we can worship God, right? There's is with dance, there's speaking, there's singing, there's reading, there's praying. There's just so many different ways of worshiping God. And I love as a church that we get to experience that because everyone's a little different, right? So like Craig mentioned, we are going through the book called The Story. If you haven't gotten a copy, there are copies in the back there. And it's a story that is written chronologically. It's taken from Genesis all the way through Revelation, and it's from the NIV version of the Bible. But it's written without chapter numbers, and it's written chronologically, so it's a little bit easier to understand sometimes and to follow. We're going to see through the scriptures in the story as we go through the book this year that the authors focus on what's called the upper story and the lower story. The upper story tells the universal big picture, God's grand narrative of seeking relationship with his people. And it kind of unfolds throughout all of history. So when you get to, when you read like the whole book, you get to just see that over and over and over and over. And it's just a really beautiful way to connect with God and see God in a bigger light. The lower story contains the details of particular stories. Some of the stuff that we've already talked about, Adam and Eve, Joshua, Moses, Rahab, the epic battles of the Israelites for the guys out there that like war things. So far, like Craig mentioned, we have gone through the stories of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges, all in 7 weeks. It's amazing. So that brings us today to the book of Ruth. It's a small book. It's only 4 chapters. There are 3 main characters in the story that we're going to talk about today. One of them is Naomi. She is Ruth's mother-in-law. Ruth, the book is named after her, she's a Moabite woman who married Naomi's son. Boaz is a relative of Naomi's husband, who eventually marries Ruth when she loses her husband and he passes away. There's a lot in this book, and we're not going to be able to touch on it today because it's just too much. Like Craig said, we could take several months and just go through these 4 chapters. But as we go through this story, I just want to encourage us to pay attention to what's going on in the upper story and see how Ruth's lower story is starting to intertwine with God's upper story. The message today is titled, The Faith of a Foreign Woman. And we know that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It's Hebrews 11:1. We're going to see today that faith is the connecting point between the lower and the upper story. Ruth shows us the importance of having faith, especially when things are difficult, and that our faith can have far-reaching impacts. Ruth's story is no different than our stories. But before we dive in today, my husband always encourages me to capture something or say something that captures your attention. So I'm going to start with a joke, okay? He was a little scared this morning when I told him the joke. Okay, Ruth marries Boaz, right? So what kind of man was Boaz before he married Ruth? What was that? Ruthless. Totally it! He was ruthless. And then my husband added in, and they had a little baby. Baby Ruth. Okay, maybe we should pray. God, it is good to laugh. And we thank you that you came both as God and as man. And we just like that we can laugh because we know that you laughed too and you interacted with your people as both God and man. And we just thank you that this story today would increase our faith, that if there's anything that you want to put your fingers on to change us and transform us to be more like your son Jesus, we invite you to do that work today. We're willing and we're open to receive you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're going to go through the book of Ruth, we're going to see 3 main points. Faith is expressed in our attitudes. Faith is expressed in our choices, and faith is expressed in our need for a redeemer. It's universal. We all need one. What's the most difficult situation you've ever been in? What's the hardest thing you've ever had to go through? Ruth 1:1-5 says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife had two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. The names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. Everybody knows if there's a hard word that you just say it like you know how to say it and everybody believes you, right? Okay. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These Moabites took wives, her sons took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other one was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her son, her two sons, and her husband. This is about Naomi. Death is probably the hardest thing that we've all had to go through. I can't even imagine what it would have been like for Naomi to lose both her children and her husband. I've lost parents. I've lost some friends. My parents lost my sister before I was born. She was just 10. But probably the most difficult situation I've had to go through is walking through my son's open heart surgery 9 years ago. While I've had my share of difficulties, as I'm sure you all have, none of them are as hard as what Naomi experienced. Like Naomi, Ruth also lost her husband. And while both of these women suffered great losses, these two women had attitudes that were quite different. Faith is expressed in our attitudes, especially when things are difficult. You've heard Craig use this quote a lot on Sundays, and I've heard it, and it just hit me differently this time. Outlook determines outcome, and attitude determines action. It's by Warren Wiersbe. Our attitude directly affects our actions. Naomi and Ruth, without husbands or sons, found themselves in a very vulnerable situation. They faced dangers of both starvation and victimization. Naomi wanted the best for her daughters-in-law, so she, knowing that it was best for them to remarry, told them to go back to their original homes. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. How many of us would kind of send them away knowing that that was best for them? Orpah and Ruth protested, but they still wanted to remain with Naomi. So it goes on to say, no, daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And to me, that stuck out at me, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. We hear Naomi says that she believes that God has gone out against her, so her attitude is going to reflect that. All of her actions are going to reflect that too, right? When we believe something to be true, even when it's not, our attitudes and our actions will come from that place. That's why it's so important to root ourselves in Scripture, to know the truth of who God is and what he's done for us. Because those things that we pick up in the world and from the enemy that aren't true, we then can align our attitudes with the truth, even if our experiences haven't shown us that, right? Naomi continues to describe her bitterness. In verses 20, she says to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? Naomi was bitter. I'm not sure I wouldn't have been either, going through what she did. Has anybody here ever eaten a lemon straight from, you know, a fresh lemon? It makes your face do this. To me, that's that picture of a bitter attitude. It's shocking. It's kind of jolting. Bitterness starts when we cling to anger and resentment and start holding a grudge. Bitterness turns to blaming others, and then we begin to hold on to unforgiveness. So it's a cycle. Unforgiveness is a sin, and Jesus tells us in Mark 11:25 that we must forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. We all want to be forgiven of our stuff, right? This is saying in order to receive the forgiveness, we also need to give forgiveness, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. And that's what helps stop that cycle of bitterness, and it transforms it into something better, right? Her attitudes were bitter. Her actions would have been bitter. All of it would have come from a place of bitterness. And sometimes we can't get out of that place on our own. God sent Naomi a helper in Ruth. On the flip side, in verse 14, we start to see Ruth's attitude. When they lifted up their voices and wept again, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Can't you just kind of picture that? She's like, no, I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay. How many of us have friends like that or family members like that? It makes the difference, doesn't it? In verse 16, she continues to say, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge, and your God will be my God. That's kind of a famous passage that they read at weddings sometimes. But to me, this is more of a commitment of love, regardless if it's a marriage ceremony or not. She committed to loving God, loving Naomi. And that's what we're called to do, right? Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do to me, so she's already put her faith in Jesus, because can you see that shift? May the Lord, she's already talking about the Lord and making a vow with him. May the Lord do to me and also to you anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined not to go with her, she said no more. She's like, all right, we'll go together. Have you guys ever had experiences when you had an opportunity to do that for somebody? Or to be the receiving of that type of love and commitment? It makes the difference. Ruth's attitude was one of honor. She vowed to stick with Naomi till the end. She vowed to follow God, the God of Israel, the one true God, and she committed to staying with her forever. In that culture, that was really amazing. Because apart from a husband, apart from sons that would help provide for them, they were committing to doing this together without that layer of protection that oftentimes was provided to them through culture. So Ruth and Naomi returned to Judah. That was Naomi's homeland. That is the place where God's people, the Israelites, lived. So now we'll go to the second point. Our faith is expressed in our choices. I'm going to just say this section is a bit intense, and I don't mean it to be, but it, to me, helped me understand why God said what he said about intermingling with the Moabites. So it's just a little strong, but it's in the Bible, so we'll get through it, okay? So Genesis 19, 36 through 37 says, thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn son was called by the name of Moab. He is the father of the Moabites today. The Moabites, so Ruth was from the Moabite area. That's where Naomi and Elimelech moved their family. and they were born out of an incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. Because the Moabites had sexual sin, and they were following other gods, little g, not big G, big God, big G, forbade the Moabites from entering in to the assembly of God. Deuteronomy 23:3 says, no Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord. God did not want the Israelites to mix with the Moabites because he knew that it would draw the Israelites away from him to follow other gods. And guess what? He was right. Numbers 25 goes on to say, while Israel lived in Shittim, the people began to whore their daughters of Moab. These invited the people of sacrifices to their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to the Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. This was about a heart issue. It's not a nationality issue. It's not a location issue. It was a heart issue that God was addressing here. The Israelites did draw away, and they did follow other gods. And in that, they stopped following the commands of God. Faith in God is rooted in knowing that he loves us. And the things that he tells us to do or not to do are for our benefit. They're not for his. Our faith can be expressed in our choices that we make. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, took his family into Moab away from the famine, but into something much worse. It was spiritual adultery. And it took them away from the God who loved them, who provided for them. Elimelech leaned onto his own understanding and not God's understanding. And his family suffered consequences for that choice. Discipline is different than punishment. While punishment focuses on making the person suffer for breaking the rules, discipline is about teaching us how to make a better choice next time. Hebrews 12:11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields to the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. He disciplines those whom he loves. He's not about punishing us. Jesus already paid for that. But he does discipline us because he loves us and he doesn't want us to keep making choices that aren't going to be for our benefit down the road. Naomi and her family had come under the discipline of the Lord. Our choices matter. And as people of faith, we have to make choices that are in alignment with God and what he instructs us to do and not to do. And that will produce a peaceful fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness begins with first putting our faith in God. And Ruth did that. She said, I will follow your God. And then she started talking about doing things that the Lord would want her to do. So she had made that heart choice. She was known as a new baby Christian. You know, like a little baby Ruth. We can begin to see how her choice to follow God began to do a work in her lower story. Faith is expressed in our need for a redeemer. Enter the story, a man named Boaz. Without knowing it, God had Ruth, he had led her into the fields that Boaz owned, and she gleaned from his fields to provide food for she and Naomi. He watched her do this for months. Not in a weird, creepy way. It was a small town. He had heard that Naomi had come back. He asked, who is this person? And they said, Ruth is Naomi's relative. And he just watched as she gleaned and worked from sunup to sundown to provide food for Naomi. Ruth 2:8 Ruth 2, 8 through 12 says, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Now listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and do not go from them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink that the young women have drawn.' Then she fell on her face, bowing on the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner?' But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land to come to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you.'" He's blessing her right here. "The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward will be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." As she follows God, she's like, okay, I'm just going to find this field. I'm going to stay here. And then Boaz comes in, and he starts to instruct her and provide for her and offer her protection as she follows God. In Ruth 2, 19 through 20, we find that God has brought her a man who can not only instruct, protect, and provide for her, but he can redeem her. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The man's name with whom I've worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours. He's one of our redeemers." I don't know that she was praying and like walked about this whole situation with God. I think she was just following. But one of the choices that I saw that she made here is when Boaz was giving her instructions, she followed them. She didn't veer off to the left. She didn't veer off to the right. She listened and she obeyed him. And I think that makes a difference. A redeemer is somebody who redeemed property or relatives. The redeemer would pay off debt required to redeem the land, to buy back the land and any relatives from it. A redeemer provided an heir through marriage so that they could maintain his inheritance. And a redeemer avenged the unlawful death of a family member, which was the legal function of Israel at the time. Times have changed. We don't necessarily need to have somebody do all of those things for us anymore, because, you know, we're not supposed to go kill anybody. So, but Boaz redeemed Ruth, and then they eventually married. So he bought back all the land, paid off all the debt, so she was redeemed. The Lord ended up blessing them with a son named Obed, who was the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David, and who is in the direct lineage of Jesus, who is the real redeemer, right? Naomi's story has a happy ending. We all like happy endings. Ruth 4, 14 through 15 says, "Then the woman said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more than seven sons, has been given birth to you.'" Those ladies were excited for Naomi that she had her happy ending, but they were also speaking of who was to come after Obed, right? Boaz promised to Ruth that he would fully redeem her, and he did. And this is a picture of what Christ is going to do for all mankind in the future. Like Ruth, we all need a spiritual redeemer. She needed somebody to help her do what she was incapable of doing herself, and so do we. Jesus Christ is the redeemer of all people. He paid the debt for our sin that no one else could pay. so that we could have eternal life. He bought us through that blood. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. His grace is a gift. It's one that we need to receive and open so that we can have eternal life. From the lower story perspective, Elimelech and Naomi were just trying to make a decision to provide for their two boys. They needed to eat, right? When everything falls apart, Naomi assumes that God has turned against her. Instead, God was using her choices to write his upper story of love and redemption. This is where we can enter the upper story of Ruth. As we look at the upper story, we begin to see how God intentionally begins to seek out women from foreign nations who will give their allegiance to God to signal his love and redemption for all people. He was looking for heart issues and heart aligning with his in the foreign women. He first showed us this in the story of Rahab. She was a prostitute who helped Joshua hide from the king of Jericho in return for their promise of protection for her and her family during the Israelite invasion. Rahab was Boaz's mother. Obed was born from Ruth and Boaz. Jesse was the father of David. David was God's pick for a human king, and through his lineage, the one true king of kings, Jesus was born. God has chosen this particular family to begin to show us a universal truth. God is a God for all people, and Jesus will be the way to him. We all need a redeemer. His name is Jesus. If the worship team wants to come up, we're going to end a little early today so we can decorate for Christmas. Ruth's story shows us the importance of having faith, especially when things get difficult, and our faith can be very far-reaching. Our faith is expressed in our attitudes. Do we have an attitude of faith or bitterness when things get hard? When we were told our son had to have open heart surgery at age 19, I had a choice to make. Was I going to be angry and bitter, or was I going to have faith? I was driving to work one day and I was praying. I was crabbing to God. I was crabbing. And I just felt the Lord say that Zach needed this surgery to become the man he was going to be, that God created him to be. And in that moment, I chose faith. And I chose not to be bitter. Our faith can be expressed in our choices. Are the choices that I make on a daily basis, are they in alignment with God? One day, while we were waiting to have surgery, God told me to go up to my son's room and tell him he wasn't going to die. And that was just such a strong statement. I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But I prayed and I felt him say that a couple times to me, so I did it. I went up to my son's room and I just sat on the side of his bed and I just said, I want you to know you're not going to die from this surgery. Mom, I can't believe you would say that. And I just sat there and I said it again, you are not going to die from this surgery. Mom, would you stop? You are not going to die from the surgery. And then you could just kind of feel him settle in. And then he started to share with me his dreams about what he wanted to do in the future. I had no way of knowing what the turnout was going to be, but I know that God told me to go tell him that, to give him hope, and I followed it. Our faith is expressed in our need for a redeemer. Are we willing to yield ourselves, to literally lay down at the feet of Jesus and ask for his covering and his redemption. I had to do that during that season too. Steve and I couldn't fix this. Didn't really even know if the doctors were going to be able to. And I remember the Sunday before his surgery laying right here on the floor during worship. And I just laid it all down. And I prayed that God would redeem the situation. And he did. He's good. I didn't know that at the time, though. So I just want to end today with just giving you an opportunity. Is there something that you need to lay down at the feet of Jesus? Something that you've been holding on to that's making you bitter or angry? Or maybe a choice that you made that you know wasn't in alignment with what God had asked you to do? I just want to give you some space to interact with God and to meet him there. God is a redeemer. He will turn our everyday stories into something beautiful if we let him. And he's still in the business of taking our Lord's story decisions that put us in special places, in special times, and using them to tell an even greater story. We just need to look for it and expect it and have faith in God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts. That you would speak to our attitudes and our choices and our willingness to ask for a redeemer to come in the situation. God, if there are any people here today that have not taken that first step of putting their faith in you, I just want to say a prayer and you can pray with me. Father, I ask your forgiveness for trying to do things on my own, for doing things without you and without your guidance. And I confess that I've done some things that I know that are wrong. And I probably have done some things that I don't know that are wrong yet. But I ask that you would forgive me. And I want to receive the gift of Jesus dying on a cross for my sin so that I can live with you and have everlasting life. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my mind, into my heart, and into my life today. And that I would be willing to follow you as you guide me throughout my story. Jesus, I thank you that you would give us something to hold on to today that changes us. I break bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask that you would put peace in that place and that you would put joy in that place. If there's anyone that we need to forgive, Jesus, would you just put them in our minds right now? And that we would choose to forgive. We need you, Jesus, as our Redeemer. We lay it all down for you today and ask that you would come and transform as only you can do. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.